Welcome to the Stop Over Drinking and Start Living podcast, where high-achieving, goal-oriented rebel women come to learn how to live a vibrant and fulfilling life without requiring alcohol to get through it. No labels, no judgments, no saying you'll never drink again, just real proven methods to help you stop rebelling against yourself with alcohol so you can drink less and do more. I'm your host, Angela Masenik. Let's dig in. Welcome to episode 269. I stopped over drinking, but now I overeat. Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm very excited this week because it's Wine-Free Work Week Challenge. And so I'm just celebrating everybody who took on that challenge and has joined me this past week live for our workshops or watching the replays. All of your comments and contributions in the Facebook group have been super helpful for everybody, and I just love, love, love this challenge for a lot of reasons. So anyway, two weeks maybe, I asked y'all what you wanted to hear on the podcast, and I got two responses about food, and I also get questions a lot about this inside my coaching programs, and I coach clients on it all the time, so I thought, it seems like a hot topic, So we're going to talk about it, about how, you know, when we get our drinking, maybe we're taking a break from drinking or we're working on cutting back. You know, sometimes we switch to other things like overeating. And so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to read the questions that we got here real quick. The first question was, how can you talk a little bit more about weight loss? Motivation is so hard. I have some to lose with feeding kids, complicates everything more than when I was younger. So that was a question. And then the next question was, you know, almost stopped drinking completely. She said, your podcast and Dry January coaching helped me tremendously. I'm pretty much alcohol free now. That's so awesome. Congratulations. So her question was, how do I transition this to food? I have found that I snack like it's my job now that I'm not drinking. I'm stuck here. I thought I could just apply the same principles for alcohol to food, but it feels different because I've made the decision to be alcohol free, but obviously need to eat. So that's the second question. So I think they're both very related, right? So it's like, sometimes we have this thought, like we can just take out, we don't need alcohol, right? We don't need alcohol to live. And so sometimes just taking that out of the equation is, you know, helps, right? So we stop drinking, or if you're working on cutting back, you significantly cut back. But then there's the food thing, because we do need to eat to live, right? And what often happens is that we can take the break, but maybe we're not doing some of the deeper feelings work, right, with alcohol. And at the end of the day, when our normal drinking cycle has happened, or in social situations or on weekends, we find ourselves just snacking, or overeating at meals to deal with that discomfort of just like not having anything to cope with, right? Not having any external substance to cope with. And it's very common. And if this is happening to you, I don't want you to worry about it. But the same principles do apply to food as they do with alcohol. Now, you do need to eat. So what I recommend that you do is you make a food plan. And inside my Alive AF coaching program, there's a daily worksheet, which is just the most powerful worksheet that is there, that helps you make a food plan. And it's not so much when you're starting out in this, I want you to think about pausing on any of the dieting stuff. So we want to start by building trust with food. So you put food on there that you enjoy eating and that you're have a really high chance of following through on the on your plan. So things that taste really good to you. And then we can make tweaks later about, you know, if you have weight loss goals and stuff or whatever that looks like. But the first thing is to practice following through on your commitments to yourself, just like we're doing with alcohol. And so you write your food down, whether it's in Alive AF on the worksheets or in a journal, or if you use an app or something like that, you plan for what you're going to eat either that morning or the night before. So we want to start making decisions around food very similarly to how I teach with alcohol. So we don't want to make same day in the moment decisions. Now, food is different. I plan my food in the morning. But usually, I go to Costco, since you probably all know that. And we pretty much eat at home all the time. And so I know what we have, right? And it's usually the same stuff. So I'm not like creating new recipes or anything. So I know what I like. And so I have a pretty good idea of like that night, if there's leftovers, this is my process. So last night I made Korean beef. It was so good. Chuck roast in the crock pot, yum, with all the spices and things, rice and asparagus. And so I had exactly one serving of that left over. So as I was packing that up last night, I'm like, okay, this is my thought process. Am I going to have this for dinner or for lunch tomorrow? And so I decided that I was going to have it for lunch. And that's easy for me. I'm doing wine-free work week this week. I'm busy. There's a lot of moving parts. And so that would be great just to heat something up real quick. So I decided to have that for lunch. And then for breakfast this week, I'm just doing smoothies. I do frozen berries, chia, I do collagen powder, almond milk, banana, and I make that in a blender and I eat that. So I kind of have my staples. Like it's either that or it's chia seed pudding, which I love, and I make that the night before. But since I have a lot going on this week, I'm not doing a lot of prep. Right. So I'm trying not to spend as much time in the kitchen. So I think through that stuff, my work schedule, what's going on. So that was decided last night, what I was going to have for breakfast and what I was going to have for dinner. And I didn't write it down last night, but this morning when I got up and I did my journaling and, looking at my day and what my calendar was and sort of planning out my food, I rewrote those decisions that I made last night. So the smoothie for breakfast and the leftover Korean beef for lunch. And then I sat there and thought about what I had in the refrigerator for dinner and like what I would find enjoyable to eat after, kind of a long day at work. And so I decided to have salmon in the air fryer and make like a salmon Caesar salad. And that taste sounded really good. So I put that on my plan. And that's it. And then I wrote that I was going to have my water, my 2 Stanley cups of water, which is like 90 ounces of water, and that'll be it, and do my workout and all that. So that's how I think through it. I'm planning that, I'm thinking about it the night before. What do I do with these leftovers, if there are any? And usually there are. And when am I going to have them? Is there enough for everybody, or what am I going to do? Right. So, if like you have a family or other people to think about, and I do too, I have 3 kids and a husband. And so, that all has to kind of play into it. Since yesterday's meal, leftovers was only enough for one person, I knew that I was going to get that. Because like I made it, it's all from scratch. It's something that I really like to eat. I'm like, that's mine. And so then when I was thinking about what's for dinner tonight, so I'm gonna have a salmon like Caesar salad, and the kids probably don't want a salad for dinner. And like if I make salad for them, that it's just like a side, and then I give them something else. So I'm gonna make salmon for everybody, and they're gonna have rice and a vegetable with it, and I'm gonna have my salmon Caesar salad. So I do make accommodations for the family, because I want them to eat what I put in front of them. And it's the same philosophy for you. You should be putting food that you want to eat. Like, we don't want to, at the beginning, when you're transitioning and like answering these questions, is like, how can I transfer, the stopping over drinking principles to overeating? It's being intentional, right? It's making decisions when you're not hungry and tired and stressed, right? So those decisions that you make in that moment at the end of the day, after work, or whatever you're doing during the day, usually aren't the best ones. You're going to be seeking comfort in those times, right? So it's better to make those decisions first thing in the morning or the day before, when you're thinking about your goals and you're thinking about how you want to feel and like what foods feel good for you. And so all the foods that I mentioned that I put on, like I love them. They're high flavor foods. They have a lot of protein. They're good for me. They give me sustainable energy. I find them very pleasurable to eat. And so that's what I put on my plan. And sometimes I put on my plan like a burger, and French fries and pizza. It's just not the regular everyday, because those kind of foods don't make me feel good when I eat them more than just one serving at one sitting. Okay. So we want to apply the planning in advance principles to your food. But in the beginning, again, you don't want to start. If you have weight to lose and you want to lose weight, that's awesome. I would just pump the brakes on that for about a month. and get good at making a food plan and planning and following through on that and working through your urges at the end of the day. Okay, so that's part two of this is now you have your food plan, you're putting foods on there that you want to eat, right? You eat when you're hungry, try to not overeat, try to stop when you're noticing you're satisfied and not full, so you can play around with that. And then what you're going to have is you're going to have the in between your meal times, right? And that's when you want to be super conscious and aware. So a lot of people, it's the after dinner or it's after lunch, like late afternoon, 2, 3, 4 p.m., when they get bored and tired and they're just kind of done for the day. You've been doing all the things all day long and they start searching for shit, right? So if you work from home, you might find yourself in your pantry. If you're in the office, you might be getting up and going to the vending machine or just like looking in the refrigerator or wanting chocolate or something like that, right? So you're like kind of like you're looking for something. Can you resonate with that? So if that's you, you want to just be conscious about what it is that you're actually looking for. Okay. So if you find yourself like a lot of times you find yourself before you're even conscious of it, you find yourself like in the kitchen or in the break room, right? And you're like, what am I doing? You know, and you're like, you're not hungry. Nothing really, this is also a good sign. Nothing really sounds good. Like you wouldn't be satisfied eating an apple, right? I have to drink my coffee. I made this most amazing cup of coffee right before I started recording this podcast. So I'm going to drink it while I'm talking to you. Okay. So you find yourself asking like, nah, nothing sounds good, right? Or I really just want a little piece of chocolate. Or I really just want like something very specific. Okay? Like you might have a craving for something. I just need a little sweet something. I just need a little hit. That's when you know something else probably is going on, right? So you just want to pause. Pause in that moment and I love just connecting with your body, putting your hands on your chest. I talk about this a lot. When you put your hands on your chest, it reminds you that you're like in a body. And also putting your hands on your chest sort of cues you to take a deep breath. And then you're like, okay, coming back into your body, taking a breath and asking yourself, what is going on? What do I actually need here? Right? And it probably is, you know, I'm just a little bored and I could use a break. I'm tired. Maybe you're stressed out. Like, whatever is happening, whatever is going on for you, your brain will tell you if you ask it that question. Don't settle for, I don't know. I'm just annoyed. Or, you know, it could be, you're annoyed. I don't know. I'm just frustrated. Like, that's it. You're frustrated. You're annoyed. You're edgy. There's something there. So listen to that, right? There's a feeling there that's prompting you to go get something. And if this is your habit, right? If this is what you do, your pattern, you're going to go get something to distract you from that feeling. And it could just be tiredness, you know? Like that time of the day, I like am start to get like I'm done. I'm winding down. You know, I wake up early. I work hard in the morning. I work out in the morning. Like I do all my things. You know, by 3 o'clock, I'm like pretty much toast. And so I can find myself in those situations too. And that's just really important to like know that about yourself. Like, what is it that you need? Do you need to take a 5-minute break and go put your feet up and close your eyes? Do you need a big glass of water? Sometimes you're just thirsty. So pause, connect with yourself, ask yourself what is going on. Okay. And then take care of yourself with, and sometimes you might actually be hungry, and that's okay. And if you're actually hungry, you want to eat something that would be good for you in that moment. That's why sometimes it's good to put a snack on your plan too. So like if that is you and you are hungry at 3 or 4 p.m., you know, an apple is probably all you need, right? Something like that. It gives you a good hit of energy. It's delicious. It's cold. It's refreshing. It's going to get you through till dinner. Okay. So think about that when you're making your food plan as well. If you worked out really hard, if you're, you know, doing, if you're moving around a lot, you know, different cycles of the month, sometimes you're hungrier on certain days than others. So it's nice to have a backup plan snack that you've planned for. All right. And that's really going to get you far because you're going to learn about yourself and what is going on in that specific situation. And you're going to learn how to process those feelings. Remember, I teach the stop, notice, and process. And so you want to do that with food as well. You want to stop, Hands on chest. Notice, what am I feeling? Use your breath to process. All right. And then at the end of the day, when you're not drinking and you've already eaten dinner and you know, you know your patterns, right? So maybe just grab a journal and write down, like, these are the patterns that I have. I find myself in the refrigerator wanting to snack, or in the pantry, just staring at things, right? And it's just kind of like mindlessness. And you're probably not hungry, right? You can check in with yourself. Maybe you are. Generally for me, I notice I'm really, like, as the day goes on, I get less hungry. So I like eat a pretty good breakfast, eat a pretty good lunch, and then I'm not super hungry for dinner. So like my dinner, you know, is pretty moderately sized. And then it would be very rare if I was actually hungry after I ate dinner. But if I had a hard workout, or if I did a big hike a couple days before, like, the, you know, sometimes there's exceptions to that, but generally I'm not hungry. For me, it's just boredom. And, you know, I might be carrying around stress or anxiousness from the dinner routine. You know, I don't typically enjoy, you know, the whole dinner process. I talk about this a lot. It's like, I've tried to like that time of the day, like that 4 to 6:30 time where kids are coming home, we're eating, we're cleaning up, we're making sure they're packing their lunches, the dogs are going crazy, they need to be walked. All of that, like, isn't super chill. You know, it's just, for me, it's the most anxious time of the day. And I just accept that. And so sometimes after that's all over, I might have some residual feelings around that time that I'm not super aware of. And I can tell I'm feeling that way if my stomach is tight. That's how I know, like, if I'm holding on to something, I'm like not taking deep breaths. I'm like, and so that reminds me, I know that feeling, that reminds me to just take a deep breath. I usually tell myself to get out of the kitchen and I go find my ritual spot. So that's usually, in the wintertime, it's like upstairs in my bedroom. I make it a nice cup of tea. I take my journal or any workbooks or things I'm working on up there, and I get out of the kitchen to sort of like support my desire to not snack. And it's a lot of work for me to go back down into the kitchen, you know? And so I want to put that obstacle in front of me. And so that's what I do. And lately, since it's been getting nicer outside, I have two beautiful decks that are, one is off my bedroom and one is off my kitchen. And I've spent the last couple of weeks like really enhancing those areas with some nice furniture and plants and cozy blankets and candles and incense and stuff like that. So lately what I've been doing after dinner is like doing my same routine. I make my tea for the night, and I drink tea every night. So it's just sort of like I make dinner, I clean up the whole kitchen, help the kids or whatever. And then I get my pajamas on and then I make my tea. And now I'm going out on one of those porches, lighting incense, lighting candles, getting my Jackie Poo dog. And actually, he's been annoying me. So he hasn't been joining me on the porch because he barks whenever somebody walks by. But anyway, I get myself set up and then I go out there and I drink my tea. I talk to my husband. I invite him out if he's available, or a kid sometimes. Sometimes it's by myself. And I listen to the sounds of the woods and the bugs and the frogs and the birds. And I just let it be. And I connect with nature. I connect with my tea. I connect with myself. And I'm relaxing. It's so enjoyable. So I recommend that you find some sort of ritual to do for yourself that feels good for you. And practice doing that as much as possible. You have a ritual right now of going and snacking. Whatever that looks like for you, all right? You're like, for me, sometimes it's like I'm just like in the pantry and I have a little tiny bowl and I fill it with dry cereal or chips. And then I might go back and like fill it up again and again, you know? And, you know, I don't like that because it doesn't feel good and I'm not hungry. And then I'm like, you know, beating myself up about it while I'm doing it. So the whole thing isn't enjoyable. And if you want to have something like that, it's absolutely fine. Put it on your plan so that you can actually just sit down and enjoy it, you know, and there's no guilt about that. So needless to say, I'm not perfect either. I still have these things and how I set myself up for success. And I'm like 80% of the time, this is what I do. And that's what you should shoot for too. Remember, progress, not perfection. Plan your stuff, develop new routines, check in with yourself, work on figuring out what those feelings are that is driving you to go to the cabinet for comfort. All right. And get good at getting there about 80% of the time for a good 30 days. And then if you have weight, so that's what that's going to do. It's going to build trust with yourself that you can plan your food and you can follow through on it, right? And you're building new habits, new routines, new neural pathways. And so then you'll have a baseline going. You're going to love yourself. You're going to do the evaluation. So if you're inside of Live AF, we have our evaluations on that same worksheet that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. You're going to go write out about your food. What worked? What didn't work? What can I do differently next time? And you're going to uncover what's happening when you eat off your plan. The plan helps you have a foundation to figure out what's going on. If you don't plan and then you're overeating, it's really hard to like have something to go back to look at and evaluate. Okay, this isn't always about weight loss. This is about, figuring out your triggers and the emotions that you're not comfortable feeling, learning how to work through urges. This can be easily transferred. You might easily be able to give up alcohol or cut back, but if you're just transferring that to something else, you still have to do that work, right? So like that's going to reveal itself to you when you have a written plan or something that you've been tracking. You're like, okay, like how did I do yesterday? What, did I stick to my plan? Why not? Like, why did I find myself in this cabinet? Like, what was I feeling? Like, those worksheets will help you figure that out more and do the deeper work that needs to be done, especially if you find yourself, in the pantry snacking at night or in that middle of the afternoon time. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. So that's the first part of it is just developing trust with yourself. And even if you don't follow the plan, it doesn't mean that you've broken trust with yourself. You can build trust with yourself by doing those evaluations on the other side of it to figure out what happened. So you're not abandoning yourself. You're not giving up on it. You're like, okay, I'm learning. I'm learning about food. I'm learning about my patterns. I'm learning about my thoughts around food or dieting or my body, right? So I totally understand. This is a like, the food thing can sometimes feel even bigger than the alcohol. I struggled with the eating stuff way longer than the food because my parents put me on a diet when I was 8 years old. 8 years old. So it has been a lifetime thing and it's okay. I have accepted that this is something that I need to manage and it's absolutely okay. I'm happy to manage it because if I don't manage it, it gets out of control. And then I overeat and then I don't feel good and then I beat myself up about it and I don't like that cycle. So I am willing to manage it and plan my food and think through it and identify those feelings and do that work on a consistent and regular basis to maintain my weight, to maintain feeling good. And it just gives me something to map to and track to. All right. So don't be scared of it and don't beat yourself up if it's been an issue that you've struggled with for a long time. A lot of people struggle with this, and there's nothing wrong with you. Be very gentle with yourself and be patient and just get good at doing those sort of basics. And then, if you have weight loss goals, then that's like a whole nother thing that we can dive into on another podcast episode. You can get coaching on that in the Alive AF coaching program. But for most of you, if you just do these foundations, it's going to get you really far. All right. So, also don't be in a rush. Notice if you have an overeat or something like that, and how you feel about yourself the next day, or how you feel in your body, and notice like what you want to do. Like, do you want to start some extreme diet? Do you want to like get rid of everything in your pantry? You know what I mean? Like, notice those patterns too, and recognize how they probably aren't going to work long term. The best thing that works long term is taking slow, easy, doable steps, being patient, figuring out each time you don't follow your plan what happened and what you can do differently, and keep going and get back on track. Get coaching if you need it. You can join Alive AF. We do talk about this and have resources in that in my monthly membership. And as a reminder, right now, we have, I think, about 3 weeks left before I close down the membership. You can join and get a discount when you join on an annual basis, or you can join month to month. So that's what I have to say about the food stuff. Thank you for writing in and asking. Please know that it is possible and it's normal to transfer from alcohol to food or some other overdoing pattern. Some people overwork, some people clean their house and stay really busy or create other problems to distract themselves from sitting with their feelings and sitting with their thoughts. So learning how to manage your mind, learning how to process those feelings, stopping, noticing, and processing is going to be critical for you to undo new habits around the food, and to stop the overeating as well. So I hope that helps. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye. I want you to check out angelamasenik.com/aliveaf. You know what it's like to have a desire to cut back on your drinking, right? You start to read books, listen to podcasts, try things, but you might not be able to yet put all the pieces and suggestions together in a way that actually makes sense and works for you. You might struggle with beating yourself up after an overdrink. You might get frustrated with yourself when you take two steps forward and then another two steps back, and get overwhelmed with what's right and wrong about your relationship with alcohol. Your friends tell you that you should be able to have just one drink, and it isn't a big deal. You might be white knuckling through urges and resisting instead of peacefully processing them. And you might struggle with your identity as someone who has enjoyed having a lot of wine or alcohol in your life. It's around you all the time. It's what you do and who you are. Well, after 5 years of successfully coaching hundreds of women through these struggles, I have created the Alive AF membership, where women like you can learn the basics on what it takes to cut back and reach your goals with alcohol, whether it is to just drink less or totally quit. And when you join, you will get the exact framework I used to change my own relationship with alcohol and still use today that has led me to be alcohol-free for over 5 years. You're going to get access to my resources, videos, and worksheets that have been proven to change and reduce how much you drink. Every day you can ask questions, share your obstacles, and get coaching and direct support on the challenges you will face with love and no judgment. Also, you will get immediate access to workshops like uncovering your alcohol identity and changing it, how to say no to things that don't support your new identity or life or goals, aka boundaries, a workshop called Creating Emotional Agency, and another one, how to manage your mind to succeed at your goals, and more. Every month we have a brand new workshop. These workshops are filled with step-by-step prompts and instruction to help you create the exact relationship with alcohol that is best for you. My mission and vision for Alive AF is to be a hub of support and resources for women to come and learn how to do what is best for them and becoming more alive in the process. When you join, you're going to learn how to take care of yourself better, how to feel good and become more alive and go after the life that you really want. I want this membership to be affordable and an easy solution where you can get all the help you need in one simple place whenever you need it. So, no need to go read another book, find a new podcast, attend a free webinar, or go down the path of piecemealing it all together. Join Alive AF and have it all there in one place for you anytime you need it. So, go to angelamasenik.com/AliveAF and enrollment is open right now. See you inside.